Well, I'll tell you what, that helped me. Praise God. Amen. If you got your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 3. I like to ask everybody online that right now, everyone online, will you share the service? The reason I want you to is what I'll be given tonight will transform your life, will transform your neighbor and your friend's life. It'll give you something. I'm going to give you something great tonight. So, and you folks in the auditorium, when you leave, hit the share button on your social media that folks will get this. Where's Chad at? Oh, here he is. Brother Chad, I asked him to read all 21 verses of Philippians chapter 3. If you're there, say amen. Wave your Bible at me. 1, 2, 3. Okay.
Amen. Philippians chapter number 3. The Word of God says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself."
One of my heroes of the faith used to have his assistant pastor read his text, and I kind of like doing that, especially if it's a big long one. They'll wear me out and keep me from preaching hard. Somebody help me preach. I'm going to give you something tonight that'll help you. Now, I'm going to give you an overall outline of this passage. Then I'm going to take a section of this passage, and preach a thought to you tonight. It'll transform you tonight if you'll let it. It'll transform your year. I'll give you the title right now. Let me give you the title. There's a couple titles. 5 Keys to a Happy Year, or 5 Keys to Have a Successful Year. Do you want to have a successful year? You said we can't because of COVID. We can't because of the new president. That's a bunch of junk. My God's still the same. He's still got a formula, and I'm going to give you the formula tonight. And I want you to, but I want to give you the introduction first to kind of key you into, and I want you to follow me. Now, first of all, in verses 1 through 11, I want you to notice a word that Chad emphasized as he read the scripture. And I want you to notice this word with me. It's found in verse 7 and verse number 8. Here's what Paul said. He said, But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Notice he repeats that again. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things. Now, in the first 11 verses, here's what Paul's saying. The key word in these two words in these first 11 verses is I count. And he is coming to you as an accountant. He's evaluating his life. Here's what he said. I've met Christ. I'm saved by the grace of God. Everything that I used to be is dung, has no value. But once I got saved and I count, I got new values. You want me to tell you who's saved in this room? Those that have been changed by the glorious gospel of Christ, and they don't live on the old values. They're living by the new values. I want you to know something, friend. When I got saved, it all became new. I look at the world different. The world different me. I'm not looking at it like CNN or some network or some politician. I'm looking at it from the big view that God has changed my life and gave me new values. Values. Hallelujah. Not where I used to be. I don't have the values of this world. Amen. Then verses 12 through 16. I want you to notice, look at these verses. I want to introduce you to two more words. Look in verse 14. Not only did he say, I count, he said, I press. Whoa, glory. See, in his past, Paul said, when he got saved, I have new values. Now he's saying in the present, he's not looking at himself as an accountant. He's now looking at himself as an athlete. And what do athletes do to get ready? They lift weights. They train. They put every fiber of their heart into their training. Paul comes as an athlete, ladies and gentlemen, in this paragraph. And he said, I press. Amen. Not only do I have new values, I got a new vigor. I am pressing towards something I've never pressed toward before. Amen. I put my life into something I've never put in before. You know what really bothers me about what's going on? We got a lot of people got used to YouTube as their church. Got used to watching it on live stream. And by the way, every time they don't like something, they can turn it off or walk into the kitchen. Come on, you know what's happening, Brother Rich? They quit pressing. They quit even trying. You know what really bothers me? They are under no conviction to be back in church. They're under no conviction to be back in the Word of God. I ain't talking about those that are with underlying conditions. I ain't talking about those that are sick and we don't want them to get this thing. I'm talking about healthy people who have lost their vigor, have lost their press. They don't get under conviction. They can't care less about being here. But see, I got new values. I'm not letting the media tell me not to come to church. I'm not letting them to try to convince me. I'll put my mask on. I'll spray my hands. I'll take my temperature. I'll do my best to protect you and me. But I'm not retreating. I'm not backing up because I'm pressing. I'm pressing. I'm pressing. I know what some of y'all are thinking. Man, he's got a big agenda for the first 6 months of this year. He's acting like he ain't no virus. He's acting like there's no worldly trouble. He's acting like the government's stable. No, ladies and gentlemen, no. All I'm saying is, I got new values in Christ. I'm pressing. I'm on the upper way. New heights I go every day. Then this introduction, did I say that? I'll get to preaching in a minute. I want you to notice something else in verse 20. Paul, in his past, says, I count. I got new values. In verses 12 through 16, he comes as an athlete. And he says, I press. I got a new vigor. But in verses 17 through 21, Paul looks out to the future. And he portrays himself not as an accountant. And not as an athlete, but as an alien. Whew. And what he's saying is, I look or we look. Somebody help me preach right there. And I got a new vision. I don't know about you, but all that you've seen in the last year, everything is prepping for the soon coming of our great God and Savior, who is going to change our vile body in the likeness of His glorious body. Oh, what a day that'll be. You know what Paul said? He said, I'm an alien. Hey, this world's not our home. And people up here in the White House and people in Congress, they don't think like we think. They're ignorant. I mean, who impeaches somebody 7 days left? I'll tell you who impeaches somebody 7 days. Somebody that wants to drive home a point. Somebody that wants to humiliate somebody. Somebody wants to crush the conservative values of this nation. That's the only one reason they're doing it. Not because of him. He ain't got the 6 days. Leave the old man alone. Dear God. But we're not of that crowd. You know what some of y'all done in this election? You put your hope too much in that. My hope's not in this world. My hope is in Jesus. He's coming. Whoa. I'm trying to give you some hope. You ain't going to hear it on Fox News. I done went away from Fox News, by the way. And I'm done with them. I'm done with CNN, MSNBC. I'm done with all of them. I change mine to another one. When they go bad, I'll be done with them too. Amen. Now here's what I'm going to give you, and I'm done. Five things. How many of y'all really look at me, and you online look at me? How many of you want to have a great year this year? Do you? Now you're not going to have it by faking it in existence. You're not going to have it because we got a new sheriff in town. You're going to have it because you follow biblical principles. I'm going to give you five tonight. I want you to follow me closely on how to have a successful new year. Five keys. And I'll get your Bible open. Look with me. And it's in the middle part of this passage that I want to deal with today. Look at verse number 12 and 13 for point number one. Not as though I had already attained, Paul was saying. Either were already perfect or complete or mature. But I follow after. If that I might apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now look what he said. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Number one, you want to have a great new year? You want to have a successful new year? You've got to have, first of all, a dissatisfaction. Here's the problem. I'm preaching to people on a weekly basis that think they have arrived. Think they're there. They are so spiritual, they don't even think they need to be here with us. They're so spiritual, they don't even think they need church anymore. They'll take a little live stream. And if they don't like me, they'll hop off to another one they might like. Probably some of them already done. It's getting a little hot on them out there. But ladies and gentlemen, Paul, I want to tell y'all, I'm like Paul. I am satisfied with Jesus. But I am not satisfied with my Christian life. Somebody help me preach. See, some people are satisfied. They think they're there already. They have a false estimation of their spiritual growth. There ain't nobody in this room there yet. And we can't act like we're there yet. And we can't put ourselves on a spiritual level. We're all sinners. Saved by grace. And I want you to know something. Here's what I am. I think I can be a better Christian. I think I can be a better giver. I think I can be a better pastor. I can do better. I'm not satisfied with how good I was last year. I'm not. I'm not satisfied with my Christianity last year. I can do better this year. You said, but pastor, you seem like you had it going last year. That was last year. But I'm going to tell you, I fell short. I could have prayed better. I could have read my Bible more. I could have got my eyes off of this virus and off this world and off of politics and more on Christ. I could have done better. And I'm dissatisfied the way I did. I am dissatisfied. I haven't apprehended yet. I haven't made it yet. I'm not over in glory yet. So I'll tell you what I am. Since I'm not satisfied, Michael, I'm going to make sure I read my 4 chapters a day. To get through that Bible in 297 days. And I'm going to make sure I read my 5 Psalms and my 1 Proverb and make sure I read again a book a week. I have went back to a commitment that I'd done years ago. I'm reading 1 book a week. One other than the Bible and other than my Bible reading. You say, why? Because I'm not satisfied. You know why you're not growing? You're satisfied. You know why you've hit a wall? You're satisfied. You know why you're not mature? You're satisfied. Somebody help me preach. We're living in an age of people being satisfied where they're at. Hey, I'm not satisfied where the church is at. I think we can go further. You said, man, you're pushing this year. Yes, I am. Do you think I'm going to sit back and let a little flu virus-like thing? And by the way, the flu's gone. I still can't get over that one. I really don't understand it. We have 200,000 cases of the flu a year, 65,000 people die of the flu a year, and we ain't got none now. Dr. Spock, tell me what happened. Dr. Brian, please tell somebody, help me, I'm confused. Other than I'm being lied to. I don't know I'm being lied to, but I don't trust nobody. The only reason I trust Marguerite is she'll kill me if I don't. Dissatisfaction, number 2. Look at verse 14. Are y'all there? Y'all still with me? He said, look here. It's good. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Now, go back. I'm sorry. Go back one. Go back one verse. I missed the important part. Go back verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to ever hint. But here's what I want you to see. But this one thing I do. Number 1, write down, I need a dissatisfaction. Number 2, in verse 13, I need a devotion. This one thing I do. I want to ask you a question. Anybody here ever get focused on Christ? And then you allow something to knock you out of focus. Maybe a hateful somebody. Maybe somebody that maybe have been in the world. And you lose focus. Well, Paul said, this one thing I do. He said, I'm like Mary. He focused on worshiping Jesus. Amen. See. Well, glory. You know what Mary said? That one thing. She chose the best part. The blind man said, one thing I know. In Psalms 27, this saying, one thing I have desired. Ladies and gentlemen, our focus must be serving God. Amen. Here's what happens. You know what happens? We get locked in, Michael. We get locked in. And we start getting devoted and sold out. Then something comes our way. Do you think something ain't going to come your way? Don't you think the devil wants to try to keep you from being focused? So what he'll do, he'll bring some busybody your way. Or some negative person. Or some idiot. Now, you don't have them people in your life. Oh, God bless you. It feels like I'm filled up with them. And what happens is, you hear them talk. And you were like a laser, Rich. Devoted. Then you got your eyes open on them. How devoted are you? You know what, some you people on live stream that quit coming to church? And some of you in the church that's up and down in this thing? You know what your whole problem is? You get, I've watched this church in the last 9 months, Brother Collins. Here's what I've seen. Let me tell you what I've seen. We get going, man, I think this thing ready to whip this thing. Then somebody gets it. Whole church gossips about it. And 75 stay away for 2 weeks. Then we get them back. And a couple of people get it. And 100 stay away for 3 or 4 weeks. Somebody ought to take a camp. And we ought to be devoted to Christ. Be careful, but be devoted. Somebody help me. I tell you what, it would fill this church would be filled with all of our members other than those that are sick with underlying conditions. Everybody would be back Sunday if they had a desire to be here. But ladies and gentlemen, if I sat at home with me a moon pie and a cup of coffee, I wouldn't drink coffee. I'd drink me a big old Coca-Cola. If I sat home like that, I'd get used to it and have my jammies on and not have to worry about getting up and watching my wife fuss about getting her hair fixed. No, here's what's happened. We've let CNN tell us it's dangerous. But look what's happening now. They're all saying that a vaccine is safe now. 2 months ago, they all said you should get one. I don't know what to do. I'm crazy. Now, Cuomo gets up. That idiot from New York, I said it. He gets up and said, it's time to open up our economy. Got more cases in New York than they ever had. It's time for us to go forward. Oh, no. It's time now because they got rid of Trump. Somebody help me preach. See here, ladies and gentlemen, don't be like that bunch. Stay focused. Stay with it. Stay serving God. And shame on us. For letting all these circumstances stop us. Number three. Look at this. This is probably my most important point. And I'm going to slow down to give it. Brethren. Verse 13. I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. Number one, you need a dissatisfaction. Number two, you need devotion. Number three, you need a direction. Ladies and gentlemen, you will not go forward as long as you're hanging on something back there. Help me preach. See, the unsaved are controlled by the past. I wonder why Christians are controlled by it. You said, you don't know what that first husband of mine done to me. Well, just thank God for the second one. You don't know what happened to me in my life. Thank God it's over. See, what you can't do is continually look back at what has happened to you. Some iron kind things. Some bad decisions you made, you need to forget them. Now look at me, look at me. How many of you in this room said, well, I don't know how. I don't know what that means. How can you forget what somebody done to you? I know. Teacher, I know. Rich, it is not getting dementia and it's not losing your memory. That's not the forgetting I'm talking about. Here's when you know you've forgotten. Is when it don't have any power over you anymore. When whatever happened back there, I know people right now, there's people in this room right now, there's stuff happened to you in the past is bothering you today. Paul said, forget those things that are behind. Let me give you two. Forget your sins. If you got them under the blood, don't bring them up. Just forget them. Go forward. And by the way, I'm sick and tired of people that want to remind me of a failure that I've had. That's in the past. Who are you? You fail. I ain't reminding you of it. See, we got to forget the past. If I think about, ladies and gentlemen, if I thought about every mistake I've made as a Christian, I wouldn't do anything. I'd stay home. I would. But ladies and gentlemen, you got to forget past sins. I want to tell you what. Now this is going to blow your mind. You also got to forget past successes. Because you were a success last year, don't mean you'll be one this year. You know what I see in churches and Christians? They're resting on the laurels of last year. You know why churches are dying? Because they're not looking for it this year. Oh, look what we used to do. Look at 25 years ago. Man, we're the church. They ain't got but 80 in the church now. But we had 500 people. They ain't got nobody now. I want to tell you something. I want all y'all to know this. God's been good to me. And some people would say he's a successful man. But I want all y'all to know this. That's last year. I ain't got a direction tonight that I want to be successful this year. And I'm not going to get the big head. I'll tell you what a preacher told me. Now, I ain't like Michael. I didn't have a pastor to mentor me. I didn't have a pastor like you had. I had one older fella who was an interim pastor. He gave me two things of advice. Man, I thought he said one day, he said, I'm going to tell you how to stay true to God. I thought, man, he's going to give me a revelation. Here's what he said. He said, don't get the big head and don't have women trouble. I said, I don't have women trouble. I got a woman trouble, but no women trouble. My wife will not me. I start getting negative and going, God, you don't have to worry about the Holy Spirit getting me. I done got a frying pan on my head. You got to have direction. Now, look at number four. I got to hurry. Look at verse 14 again. Y'all with me? You writing this down? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. How many ever wonder what that is? Anybody wonder what the prize is? How many ever wonder what the prize is? Now, don't come and tell me heaven's a prize. If you tell me that, that means you believe in work salvation. That's not the prize. That ain't the prize. I'll tell you what the prize is. You know, Paul said, I press, I'm determined. You want to know what the prize is? I'll illustrate. Years ago, I was having a little battle with depression. This is before I ever become a pastor of Taze Valley. I was pastor of Leatherwood Baptist. And I had won my dad to God. He became one of the first converts at that church. And I was tied down that Wednesday evening, because we had about 18 people there. And here's what my little 5'10 daddy did. He came up behind the pulpit and he looked over at me. He said, John David, I'd be in hell if it wasn't for you. I'd still be in the bar if it wasn't for you. I want to tell you, John David, you're the man. Well done. Man, I charged that pulpit. They had a chandelier about that high. My head was touching the chandelier. Because my daddy said, well done. You want to know what the prize is? It's when I get to glory. And my heavenly Father looks at me and says, not that a boy. John David, well done. Thou good and faithful servant. Thou been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over me. You want to know what the prize is? The prize is one day for the Lord to say, well done. Not the preacher to say, well done. Not your neighbor to say, well done. But Jesus to say, well done. We need a determination. How many people think, here's what I really worry about. And I keep preaching about people not coming to church. I think they lost their determination. And I think some people lost their determination. And here's the danger in this determination, Mike, I won't give it to you. Sometimes we're in the crowd that says, I must do all. That I do it all, okay? Well, you can't do it all. Or we could fall in the other crowd that says, well, God must do it all. No. Here's the balance. Can I give it to you? Work out your own salvation. Somebody help me preach. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both the will and do of his good pleasure. See, here's what you do. You do everything you can to work for God. And work it out. Not work to be saved, work because you are saved. And then God will work in you. Somebody help me preach. But you got to be determined. You know, I got a lot of faults. But I'll tell you one I don't have. At least right now. And I've really never had it. I got one strength that I've always had. I ain't lost it. You're looking at a bulldog when it comes to determination. And I want all y'all to know, I want to win. I want to win at checkers. I want to win at Scrabble. I want to win at Words with Friends. I want to win. And I'm determined to win. I'm determined to hear him say, well done. How determined are you? Are you so determined that one Christian can get you thrown off? Are you so determined you've let a virus blow your way? Hello. Ain't time to pray. Number 5, I'm done. Verse 15 to 16. This is the most important part because this is where I need what I need. And I'm closing out with it. Look at verse 15, 16. And I'll give you a fifth D. We need to be disciplined. Let us therefore as many as be perfect. That's mature. Be thus minded. And if in anything you do otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us mind the same thing. I want to tell you something. If you're going to be successful, you got to keep the rules. Somebody help me preach. How many believe that? How many of y'all go to sleep every once in a while when you pray? Come on, you bunch of liars. How many, when you start reading the Bible, get tired and you yawn? I'll tell you what I do. I read with that guy that reads the Bible real good. I read with him just so he'll keep me awake. Scorgie. I like him. I'm like that James Earl Jones, whatever you call him. What's his name? Hear me out. The greatest athlete of the Olympics. I don't know if you know who it was. How many know who the greatest Olympic athlete was? Raise your hand if you know. Anybody know? Way back, who was it? If you said Jim Thorpe, you were right. If you said Jesse Owens, you were close, but not right. But listen to Jim Thorpe's story. In 1912, Jim Thorpe won the decathlon and the pentathlon. And ladies and gentlemen, if you've ever seen either one of those sports done, it's impossible to win one instead of winning both. And Jim went up on the stand, and they put two gold medals for the decathlon and the pentathlon. And after the Olympics was over, the commission came and stripped him of both those medals. You said, why? He didn't keep the rules. Back then the rule was you had to be an amateur. And he broke that rule. And they stripped him. You know what I'm saying to you? If you don't are not disciplined in your Christian life, you'll be stripped of your reward and you'll be as a castaway or disapproved. Now, I am thankful that several years later, after he had died, they restored those two gold medals to him because they found some things about it that really didn't run true. Well, let me ask you something. When you get to heaven and you stand before Christ, are you going to get a full reward? You're going to get 100-fold, 70-fold, 30-fold? What are you going to get? Or is it going to be like in Revelation that they take your reward and give it to somebody else because you got disqualified because of a lack of discipline? I know preachers right now that are selling insurance and selling cars because they couldn't keep the rules. They found a woman, or they found, in some cases, a man committed sin and are disqualified. And it would be easy for all of us to do it if we lose our discipline. How disciplined are you about coming to church, paying your tithes? How disciplined are you? Come on now. How disciplined are you about reading your Bible, about praying? Or are you somebody just like discipline and you don't keep the rules? And if you don't keep the rules, you will not get the reward. Bow your head with me. Online, listen to me. How many of you want this year to be the greatest year of your Christian life? And you slip up your hand and say, I want to follow those principles. Raise them up tonight. I want to follow and preach. Will you stand with me? How many of you online would just find an altar online there at your kitchen table or at your bed and bow at your knee and say, God, I need you. If you want a full reward, why don't you come around this altar tonight in the first of this year and say, I'm going to follow them principles. I want God to bless me. Father, touch, we pray right now in Jesus' name. For his sake, amen. You ought to be up here.